WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Can a whole genre of rock and roll disappear with no notice? It almost happened in the mid-70s with pub rock, an unpretentious but enjoyable twig on rock's family tree, which wound up preparing the way for punk and new wave. Rock historian Ed Ward has the story.
Despite its name, pub rock didn't start in a pub. It started instead with one of the biggest PR disasters in the history of rock and roll. In 1970, Brinsley Schwartz was an up-and-coming band named after their guitarist, blessed with an easygoing sound and a great songwriter named Nick Lowe. They'd been calling themselves Kippington Lodge, but new management saw great things ahead for them. So great that they got the band on a bill at New York's Fillmore East, chartered an Aer Lingus plane to fly a plane load of British press over for their debut, and the best laid plans and all of that. The band hadn't gotten work permits, the plane was delayed several times, leaving London and Shannon, and truth to tell, the show was awful. Back in England, the band retreated to a house in the country, but down in London, things were changing.
I went down to the factory just to pick up my pay. Boss man said, you got no more job here. I said, that's good, I was leaving anyway. What I want to work here for? Push a button from 9 till 4. Now you tell me what that is worth. Come out, baby.
An American band called Eggs Over Easy had gotten stranded in London, and because they wanted to play, they approached the owners of the pub across the street from them, the Tally Ho, which had been featuring Dixieland. The Eggs soon drew a crowd, and an idea was born. Soon enough, they were joined by other bands, including Brinsley Schwartz. And there were other bands, too. In an era where you seemingly had your choice between the endless soloing of virtuosos, the cerebral hogwash of the progressives, and the teen allure of the glam bands, there were some rock and roll fans who just wanted to put on a pair of jeans and hear a good band in unpretentious surroundings. And there were bands who wanted to play for them.
Well, feel free to knock my back door any old time. Scrubbing tables, sweeping floors, just washing along the line. You can slip in around the side. The next time you're in town, it's music every night with a pun to help it down. The place is.
If there was a manifesto, Bees Make Honey's Music Every Night would have been it. Ironically, though, the very informality and offhandedness of much pub rock was what put off a lot of people at the time. Few pub rock albums were ever released in the United States, and virtually none of the bands toured outside of the British Isles. Nor was the sort of modified country rock the Brinsleys and the Bees played the only sound in the pubs. Dr. Feelgood was basically a blues band from Canvey Island, an obscure corner of London, and in Wilco Johnson, they had a guitarist with a decidedly visual approach to the stage. They were incredibly popular and were one of the few pub rock bands to make it, albeit only in England. Then, there was Ducks Deluxe.
All right, kids, are you ready? Are you ready for some rock and roll? Yeah! I got a
sit down in my seat, natural rain air fall. I'm gonna play my guitar for a dollar a minute. This is a big rock and roll song.
I'm going coast to coast,
and the guitar making go.
I'm going coast to coast.
The Ducks were a fearsome-looking crew, and heaven only knows what Sean Tyler was singing about at any given moment, but they left behind two supremely rocking albums. And, of course, there were the inevitable art students.
Here we go. Billy Bendigo to London early in the day. Off a quid, mate, stand to reason. Hold your horses, as your barber. Well, go blimey, watch your cheeky. Nice time, ducky, you'll be lucky. Billy Bentley's a ghost in every little state.
But Kilburn and the High Roads weren't just any art students. Their lead singer was their teacher. Ian Dury later gave up teaching art for a career in rock and roll, while his fellow Kilburn and student, Humphrey Oceans, became a famous painter. There were more. The Kersal Flyers, Chili Willie and the Red Hot Peppers, and the one band in the whole bunch to have a U.S. hit, Ace. Strictly from a business standpoint, one could say that pub rock was a failure. There were few hits, nobody made any money, and it barely made it out of London, let alone the UK. But it also launched the careers of a number of people who'd go on to forge the next big thing to come out of England, the punk and new wave movement. And, just as importantly, it gave some of us who were disgusted with how boring rock music was in the 70s something to listen to.
Ed Ward would like to thank the Kersal Flyers drummer Will Birch, author of No Sleep Till Canvey Island, The Great Pub Rock Revolution, for his help with this piece.
Well, they danced, they never tuned, the band could play. At just about midnight, well, they decided to call it a day. Now there's one thing on their mind, yeah, yeah, yeah. They've got a little slide at any price, yeah. To store the shoes of rice and surrender to the rhythm that is calling them home. Oh, she was dumb, she was dirty, yeah, but she wanted a princess. Custom made to fit right in to his arms. She could thrill him, she could chill him.
This is Fresh Air.